The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising. Volume 2. Modern Technology. By Billy Crone. Chapter 1. The Increase of Land Travel.
One day this young minister was interviewing for his very first pastorate, and the pulpit committee had invited him to come over to their church office for an interview. The committee chairman asked him, "Son, do you know the Bible pretty good?" The young minister said, "Oh, absolutely, really good." Then the chairman asked, "All right, which part do you know best?" And he responded saying, "Oh, I know the New Testament the best." The chairman responded, "Well, which part of the New Testament do you know best?" And the young minister said, "Oh, several parts." The chairman said, "Okay, well, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son?" And the young man said, "Sure, fine, no problem." And he started in, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who went down to Jericho by night, and he fell upon stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning Solomon and his wife, Gomorrah, came by and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of. But as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair on a limb, and he hung there 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he got hungry, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, the three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, and he caught a ship to Nineveh, and when he got there he found Delilah sitting on the wall, and he said, 'Chuck her down, boys, chuck her down.' Then they said, 'Well, how many times shall we chuck her down? 7 times 7. And he said, "Nay, but 70 times 7. And they chucked her down 490 times. Then she burst asunder in their midst, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, and in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be?" Well, at this the chairman of the committee jumps up and interrupts the young pastor, and says to the rest of the committee, "Guys, guys, guys, let's hire him. He may be young, but he sure knows his Bible."
Wow. Now that joke would be funny if it weren't so true. How many churches do that? They not only don't know the Bible themselves, but they go off and hire a so-called shepherd who doesn't know it as well. If you think your church isn't guilty of that, then tell me why your pastor doesn't teach on nearly one-third of the Bible called Bible prophecy. He might as well be up there saying, "Chuck her down, boys. Chuck her down." That not only makes for a horrible shepherd, but it hurts the lost. Why? Because they never hear about the worst time in the history of mankind that's coming to our planet. It's called the 7-year tribulation, and it's not a joke. The Bible says it is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that it would be a time of greater horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, God's not only a God of wrath, He's a God of love as well. And because He loves us, He has given us many warning signs to wake us up so that we would know when the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. Therefore, in order to keep you and I from ignoring these biblical warnings from God and risking the danger of being left behind, we're going to continue our series, The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising. In the first volume, we saw the first sign was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. We saw 16 future prophecies concerning the Jewish people, letting us know we're living in the last days, which was that Israel would return to the land, Israel would become a nation again, Israel would become a nation again in one day, and Israel would become a united nation again. Israel would recapture Jerusalem, their currency would return to the shekel, they would experience a rebirth of the Hebrew language, Israel would blossom as a rose in the desert, Israel would become a light unto the nations, Israel would become a source of world conflict, Israel would have a powerful military, Israel would rebuild the temple, Israel would become spiritually deceived, Israel would place their hope in the wrong Messiah, Israel would place their hope in a deceptive treaty, and that Israel would face another Holocaust. There we saw the horrible news that even after what Hitler did, not that long ago, with the original Holocaust, that another one is coming to the planet upon the Jewish people, very possibly even bigger than the last one. The Bible says 2/3 of the Jewish people are going to be struck down by the Antichrist. We saw proof of that anti-Semitic mindset coming again on the international scene and even here in America. We saw that in our own government, leftovers from the previous administration, in politics, especially the new Democratic freshmen, the media, and even American schools and churches are promoting it through what's called replacement theology. No wonder your kids come out of the secular schools and universities hating God and the Jewish people. That's what they're being brainwashed to think. It's crazy, and it's sick, but it's the mindset coming back to the planet just in time for the last days, the 7-year tribulation. But that's not all. The second update on the final countdown, Tribulation Rising series, is none other than modern technology and the AI invasion. Modern technology is a huge sign that we're living in the last days, and most people have no clue how it, or even AI, artificial intelligence, fits into that picture. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Daniel 12 1-4. At that time Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars for ever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge.
Now, as we saw before with this passage, is that God gives Daniel two signs to be an indicator that we're in the end of times. Notice what it was. Not just the activity of the Archangel Michael, but what? People would be traveling here and they're all over the earth like never before, and there would be an explosion of knowledge like never before, right? So, here's the point. Can anybody guess what in the world is happening all around us right now? We are traveling all over the earth like never before, and there's an incredible explosion of knowledge, exponentially so. Which means, this very passage is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Which means, we are living in the end times, according to Daniel. The first way that modern technology reveals that we're really living in the last days, is by the increase of travel. As we saw before, when Daniel wrote down the words of this prophecy, the mode of travel was basically the same for thousands of years. It's only in the last century alone that we see a major change in transportation. In fact, let me show you just how little it's changed throughout history up until modern times.
In the beginning, the mode of transportation was a canoe or boat, then they started moving around on skis or something to slide on, but around 3500 BC they developed a way a camel or animal could pull a wheeled cart or wagon. By 1500 BC they came up with a larger boat that could hold several rowers to transport merchandise or people across the waters. A horse-drawn carriage was used during 600 BC that was used to transport people more conveniently. Then a junk was developed in AD 200. This could be moved across the waters by the wind blowing in the sails. By AD 230 a wheelbarrow was developed to transport an individual as another was pushing while walking behind it. In the 15th century a carrack was being used. This was a larger ship with sails that could carry more merchandise and people. In the 16th century a funicular was invented. This was similar to a train. It consisted of three small cars that held one person in each car that was pulled by a cable. Also, in the 16th century the stagecoach was invented. This could carry more people from city to city and was pulled by horses. Then in 1783 the hot air balloon was invented, and in 1785 we had the steamboat. In 1804 there was the steam locomotive, and in 1818 the dandy horse was being sold on the market. This was the first two-wheeled bicycle. In 1852 there was the airship, which was similar to the hot air balloon, but it had propellers to move it from place to place. By 1863 we had the subway. This was smaller than a train and would transport people around a localized area. The penny farthing came on the scene in 1870. This was a two-wheeled bicycle that you could pedal. It had one large wheel in front and a small wheel in the back. The electric trolley came along in 1882. This was a wagon-like vehicle that was controlled by a wire that was attached to a main electrical cord overhead. Then in 1885 the motorcycle was invented. This vehicle looked like a two-wheeled bicycle, but this one had an engine and ran on gasoline. A short time later, in 1886, the first gasoline car came on the scene. The glider came along in 1891, the diesel truck in 1892, and of course the airplane in 1903. The first race car was developed in 1930 and the helicopter in 1939. In 1952 we had our first jetliner, and in the 1950s, monster trucks. In 1959 the hovercraft came along. In 1960 the bathyscape was invented, something similar to a submarine, and in 1961 the rocket was invented. Also, in 1961, we could enjoy driving the all-terrain vehicle. in 1984 jet propulsion suits were introduced. Also, in 1984, people were traveling across country in the maglev. The Segway was invented in 2001. Now you could ride on the two-wheel motorized vehicle where you stand on it and go anywhere just by holding on to the handlebars. In 2009, the prototype for the self-driving car was introduced.
And that's where we're at today. But as you can see, transportation hardly made any changes for centuries upon centuries, until about the turn of the last century when things started to pick up, and that's not by chance. It needed to pick up because that's what Daniel said would happen when you're living in the last days. The first area of transportation that has seen a major increase in our lifetime is in the area of land travel. Now, we left off with self-driving or automated cars on land, which we'll get into in a little bit, but you have to understand the prophetic significance of this. You see, when you put the history of land travel on a timeline, you begin to see just how significant the days we're living in really are. The fastest that mankind could travel for thousands of years was about 30 miles per hour via horseback. From Alexander the Great, to Attila the Hun, to Abraham Lincoln, transportation on land pretty much stayed the same, until now. All in the last century alone, we have gone from the horse to the horseless carriage, to the car. We've gone from a top speed of 30 miles per hour to literally 100s of miles per hour. In fact, the fastest car to date, on record, that we technically could get our hands on, is called the Hennessy Venom GT, which was clocked at 270 miles per hour. But then there's the ultimate dream car on land that can enable you to say goodbye to any long commute forever. It's called the Thrust SSC and goes 1,228 miles per hour.
This car is being pulled to the desert track by an 18-wheeler. It looks like a black rocket laying flat with large fins on each side of it. It slides across the desert sands like sliding on a lake of ice. It is going straight, so the person inside at the steering wheel is barely turning the wheel. All you see is a little speck of black metal with a long line of sand and smoke behind the incredibly fast-moving car. It is going so fast that it breaks the sound barrier.
That was done here in Nevada in the Black Rock Desert, and to give you an idea of how fast that is, you can hear the sonic boom. The speed of sound is about 761 miles per hour, and this thing is almost twice that, at 1,228 miles per hour on land. That's so fast that you could literally go from San Francisco to New York City in just a little over 2 hours. In a car, on land. It's crazy. But that's not all. It's not just the speed of travel that's increasing, it's the increase of travel options. Many different options have increased on land. For instance, the first car invented was called the Cugnot. It was named after its inventor, Nicolas Cugnot, who apparently could not drive very well because he drove it straight into a stone wall, which then became the first car accident of all time. The Cugnot was steam-powered and obviously didn't go very fast, it went very slow. But then a guy came along after him named Carl Benz and invented the very first gasoline-powered car. It was called the Motorwagen and it could go up to 6 miles an hour. Granted, people could run places faster, but hey, it was a start. Better than steam anyway. Now, what slowed the development of the car initially, was that they were very expensive to make and there was no such thing as auto parts stores back then, let alone gas stations. But then a guy named Henry Ford came along and he not only invented the Model T, which was the most popular of the first mass-produced cars, but he also perfected what was to become the modern assembly line, and it not only revolutionized the car industry, but the entire manufacturing industry as well. This enabled his cars to come off the assembly line in 15-minute intervals, and this was when cars began to take off. It was a total game changer to be able to mass produce them like this, which made them much cheaper, and that's when they went from being a rich man's luxury item to an everyday vehicle for the common man. Shortly after that was when you began to see an explosion of many different car manufacturers not only here in the US but around the world, including Toyota, Mitsubishi, Mazda, and others. And now, because of this, in just a few decades from those events, tens of millions of vehicles are made every single year. We now rush here and there on land an average of 16,550 miles per year for males. Ladies, yours is lower than that. My guess is because you ask for directions. Sorry guys. Had to say it. But I will say this, man. Sometimes it might have to do with the helper we have in the car.
Tim Hawkins. When you get married, if you're a guy, you get a little helper in the car. Haha. I love my little helper in the car. She knows everything about driving. It's very convenient for me. Haha, because sometimes I get confused. I don't know how I get anywhere without my little helper in the car. I'd probably be bouncing off trees and buildings and stuff, but she's there to help. She tells me when the light changes colors and everything. It's very convenient and helpful. Like, it's green. Thank you, I was confused, I didn't know. I always know how fast I'm going with my little helper. She lets me know. You know how fast you are going? Yes, I have a speedometer right here. Thanks for the backup. If that thing ever snaps in half, I've got you. She gives me statistics when we are in the car. You did know that men have the most accidents. Gee, I wonder why that is.
Speaking of which, men between the ages of 35 to 54 drive even more than that. They have an estimated driving of 18,858 miles per year, and in some states it's even higher. Now keep in mind, it wasn't that long ago that our grandparents could have been born and raised in the same town and lived there their whole lives and had hardly ever gone anywhere on land. But look at us now. Just like Daniel said, in the last days we'd be traveling all over the place, and it's increasing massively. There are now 1.2 billion drivers around the world right now, and it is estimated that by 2035 there will be 1.7 billion cars on the road, and if you could do the math, that's almost one car for every four people on the whole planet. You can't tell me that traveling on land isn't speeding up. It's going nuts. Just like Daniel said. The whole planet has got to drive here and there, whenever we want, wherever we want, as much as we want. We take all this traveling on land for granted, but it's a huge sign we're living in the last days. There's another land travel technology that has come out just in the last few years that I also believe has to do with end times Bible prophecy. Let me explain the technology first, then we'll get into how it's related to prophecy. It's in the area of automated land travel. A brand new technology that is just about ready to take over everything on the whole planet. The first automated land travel technology that's a sign we're living in the last days is automated cars. Now I'm not talking about cars that just have automated features like cruise control or even the latest developments with self-parking cars, or even automated braking. I'm talking about full-blown automated cars where you literally do nothing. You don't drive it, it drives you. You just sit back, relax, take a nap if you want, and enjoy the ride. And they're already here.
Will Smith driving in his Audi when he says, "Access USR mainframe." CNN reports. Actor Will Smith in a scene from iRobot in 2004, and it seemed like pure science fiction. Now years later, self-driving cars have been going way beyond the Hollywood fantasy. Bjorn Gieseler, Audi. You can say I don't want to drive right now, and it will take over. If I want to get back in the driver's seat, I just take hold of the wheel. CNN reports. At the consumer show in Las Vegas last week, a demonstration shows that it is possible to catch some ZZZZs in this Audi prototype. Bjorn Gieseler. We call it piloted driving, which means there is a driver, but you can concentrate on something else if you don't want to actually drive. CNN reports. And it's coming much sooner than you think. The state of California is taking aggressive steps to get driverless cars on the roads as early as this spring. The most well-known autonomous car comes from Google, which shows how someday, this car can help the blind. Digit's Wall Street Journal reports. In 2015, we completed the world's first driverless ride on public roads. Just a person in a car. No steering wheel, no pedals, navigating traffic. Steve Mahan, former CEO, Santa Clara Valley Blind Center. Well, I have never been to Austin, Texas. Now I'm driving in Austin, Texas. It's a profound experience for me to be alone in a car. A very important segment in my life was cut away when my vision failed, and a self-driving car would give me a huge part of my life back. Digit's Wall Street Journal reports. This is just the beginning. So, if automakers have their way, autonomous cars that we communicate with on many levels will be the cars we end up driving in the future.
That future is here now. It's not coming, it's here now. What you have to understand is that this is not just cool, convenient, and the latest luxury vehicle for traveling on land. I'm telling you, it's about to completely take over all land travel. And it's not just eclectic companies like Google or Tesla, but as of 2016, there are now over 30 companies worldwide utilizing automated AI, artificial intelligence, because that's what's controlling this, and they're all creating driverless cars, automated vehicles, and they're investing not just millions but billions into this. Why? because they're expecting billions if not more in return. It's big, big business. And again, we're talking all major manufacturers including companies like Apple. Even they are getting in on this. It's like a Wild West boom in technology. But they're combing it with something else. The second automated lamb travel technology that's a sign we're living in the last days is automated roads. You see, apparently it's not enough to just control and automate the cars we're driving in, as you saw, they also want to control the roads we're on. And this supposedly would give us, once again, a better driving experience. They say it will prevent accidents, reduce travel time, save on fuel costs, and even get rid of ice and snow on the road.
Okay, so actually this time what is it? It's technology that replaces all roadways, parking lots, sidewalks, driveways, tarmacs, bike paths, and outdoor recreation with solar panels. Not with just lifeless, boring solar panels, but it's smart microprocessing, interlocking hexagonal solar units. No more useless asphalt and concrete just sitting there baking in the sun, needing to be repaved and filling with potholes that ruin your axle alignment. These are intelligent solar panels. Replace one panel at a time if damaged or malfunctioning. They're covered with a new tempered glass material that's been designed and tested to meet all impact, load and traction requirements, and did I mention that they are solar panels? They generate electricity, they generate capital, they pay for themselves, they keep paying more because we're not going to run out of sun for about 15 billion years, and that lowers the cost of energy unlike those bills in the mail that keep going up, and it's clean energy. Everyone can theoretically drive an electric car, with no pollution, and a minimal carbon footprint. Can you imagine how good our cities would smell? How much healthier we'd all be? Excuse me, young man, am I being led to believe that this thing is some sort of thing? Yes, it's a thing. Yes, it's a thing, a real thing, and clean energy is only a primary function. Grab a notepad because this is where it gets interesting. For those in the north, the panels use energy they collect to power elements to keep the surface temperature a few degrees above freezing. They're heated. No ice and snow on roads causing traffic delays, accidents, and injury. No more shoveling your driveway and sidewalk, no salt corroding your car or wasting tax money on snow removal, and you can ride your bike or drive your motorcycle all year round. Every panel has a series of LED lights on the circuit board that can be programmed to make landscape designs, warning signs, parking lot configurations, whatever. These roads never have to have lanes repainted. Just reprogram to whatever we choose or whatever works best. Imagine a highway road lighting up ahead of you, how much safer it would be to drive at night. There would be improved visibility for pilots landing on solar landing strips. Imagine walking onto a solar recreation court and choosing a sports configuration. Want to play basketball? Cool. Kids want to play hopscotch and foursquare? Awesome. Ball hockey? Done. With LED lights under your feet, it's going to look like Tron out there, but real, because this is the real world. The panels are also pressure sensitive, so they can detect when large debris like branches or boulders have fallen onto the road, or if an animal is crossing. It can warn drivers with LED text to slow down for an obstruction. Solar roadways use as much recycled material in their production as possible, plus the roadways have two channels that form what's called a cable corridor that runs concurrently with the roadway themselves. One part houses electrical cables, meaning power lines, data lines, fiber optics, and high-speed internet, which replaces the need for telephone poles and hanging wires that can be damaged during storms causing power outages or become extremely dangerous if severed either as fallen live wires or buried cable. The other channel filters storm water and melted snow, moving them to either a treatment facility or treating them on site, greatly decreasing the amount of pollution that enters our soil, lakes, rivers, and oceans.
What did he say? This is not coming. It's already happening. Let me give you some examples. The Netherlands is the first country to open a solar road for public use. France is also working on a system that you just place on top of existing roads. And roads in the US are already starting to be packed with smart technology. Some states are investing millions of dollars right now to create self-driving highways. They're called smart roads, and the article goes on to say, President Donald Trump has promised to increase infrastructure spending. The Guardian reported, if all the roads in the U.S. were converted to solar roadways, or smart roads, the country would generate 3 times as much energy as it currently uses and cut greenhouse gases by 75%. And again, isn't that what the millennial generation and the new Green Deal people say we need to do? Sounds like a setup to me. They're the ones who are going to fall for this. Which brings us to the third automated land travel technology that's a sign we're living in the last days, and that is automated utopia. You see, the pitch they're making to the millennials with all this new AI-controlled automated land travel technology is it will not only save the planet from blowing up supposedly, but it will create a modern-day utopia beyond our wildest dreams. We'll have such an amazing self-indulgent convenient travel experience that it will be impossible to say no. Who would say no to this? And again, it's not just cars, but taxis, trucks, subways, trains, buses, pods, you name it. In fact, speaking of millennials, Chrysler is actually working on an automated car for millennials that automatically takes selfies. Because we all know how horrible life gets when you get a callus on your thumb from taking all those selfies, this one will do it for you.
CNN reports. A minivan for millennials. The Fiat Chrysler Portal is a concept car designed for millennials with families. Millennials within the company collaborated with engineers to design the self-driving car. The car's own Wi-Fi network lets it sync with your mobile devices. Facial recognition will supposedly allow the car to enable custom lighting while driving, and it includes cameras for selfies.
Obviously is right. But that's the tip of the iceberg. They're also working on autonomous valet parking that would enable drivers to send their car to park itself, and then summon it later using your mobile device, like a train pet. They're also looking at using automated vehicles for grocery delivery and other purchasing options. The vehicle would be able to take a grocery list and order it from Amazon or from Whole Foods, giving the driver time to handle other errands. It'll do the buying and selling for you. We'll get to that in another study. But they also want to control the whole car experience. Learning the driver's personality, anticipating the cheapest gas station or the closest one when it's time to fill up. Or, direct a passenger's attention away from their video games or apps to the world around them. You know, too much screen time. If you're driving past a castle, for example, the passenger would be alerted to pay attention and instantly pull up information about the landmark. I kid you not, pun intended, they will help you, calm the kids. If a driver's children are screaming in the backseat, the car would know to switch the programming to trivia or a joke, even point them to an item of interest outside the car, turning it into a game, keeping them occupied. As one researcher shared, how happy we'll all be just to be able to watch Netflix while our cars drive us around. Oh, wouldn't that be a dream come true? The kids are happy. We're happy. Everyone's happy. It will be one big land travel utopian experience beyond our wildest dreams, as this video shows.
Panasonic Pod. Future mobility lifestyle, 20XX, solar charging, camera monitor systems, autonomous driving mode, mobile teleconferencing, eye gaze detection, driver monitoring by AI agent. You may be tired, so there is an integrated comfort system. Lighting, air conditioning, a premium audio, massage seat, a cooperative autonomous driving is what is coming. Even driver monitoring and route recommendations. This is moving life forward.
Yes. Moving life forward. It's going to be amazing. Who can resist? What a utopia, right? Wrong. This brings us to the fourth automated land travel technology that's a sign we're living in the last days, and that is automated Big Brother. Because here's what it's going to lead.
Revelation 13:11-12. And verses 14-17. Then I saw another beast, coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
So here we see how the Bible clearly says that in the 7-year tribulation the false prophet is not only going to dupe the whole world into worshiping the Antichrist, but he's what? He's going to make them, he's going to order them, he's going to cause them, he's going to force them to do whatever he says to do, otherwise they will what? They will die, right? And again, focus on the key words there, make order, cause and force. This implies that we have some serious global enforcement going on here. Because that's the context, it's global. He forces the whole planet to do whatever in the world he wants them to do, or they are going to die. They are, in essence, micromanaging the planet. So, here's the point. In order to pull this off, think about it, you not only need some serious control over the whole planet, but you better have some serious ability to monitor everything and everyone on the whole planet. If they don't do what you say, you have to have the ability to take them out right there on the spot, right? Why? Because you know there's going to be resistors, even in the 7-year tribulation. The bulk of the planet is going to fall for the Antichrist's lies, but not everyone does. People are still going to resist. So, what do you do? How do you force, order, make, and cause people to do what you say or kill them on the spot if they don't do what you say? Simple. Stir everything we've seen together so far with this automated land travel technology, and I think you have just one of the many ways he's going to do it. Add this to what we've seen so far. Here's what they also want to put in these automated vehicles.
A smart car seat senses driver's physical and mental state. This is from LA. A new smart car seat can keep a driver calm by actively monitoring the commuter's physical and mental status, according to the maker. And at another LA auto show they shared how cars will read your mind in the future.
In other words, they will know if you will obey or not obey. Are you a resistor? Then add to that how they are already giving this automated smart car information over to authorities to allow them to take control of these automated vehicles if they don't like what you're doing.
Automakers could give police control over your self-driving car and they can reroute them or force them to pull over.
Why? Because, as recent as December 2018, an intoxicated driver fell asleep behind the wheel of a Tesla with the autopilot engaged. And this is the kind of problem AV, automated vehicles, manufacturers and law enforcement want to avoid. So, they can program the AVs to pull over as soon as they detect flashing police lights behind them, which by the way is already being done by Google's automated car Waymo. They admit, letting law enforcement control an owner's car seems like murky legal territory, and you can see how some people might be opposed to police being able to give instructions to their car, especially if the car is programmed to follow police orders over that of the driver even if the driver isn't doing anything illegal. Now, add this to that. This whole system is being controlled by a type of AI global cloud system that can be tapped into anywhere around the world. They even admit it in the commercials.
One commercial. Did you know that 98% of the cloud runs on Intel? That rideshare that you actually rode here is on the cloud. That driverless car, Intel is driving the future. Traffic lights, street lamps, business runs on the cloud.
Including, as you saw, automated vehicles. They're already admitting it in the commercials that all these automated vehicles are being controlled by an AI cloud-based system, which is why articles are starting to say this. Some critics have also noted how hackers might be able to exploit this ability for police to control AVs. In other words, they're concerned that anybody can now get into this cloud system and control your vehicle as well. In fact, it's already being done.
Andy Greenberg, senior writer at Wired.
It's not fun having your Teuton SUV's brakes get hacked just as you are parking in front of a ditch. That is what I learned from Chris Valasek and Charlie Miller. They are hackers that have spent the last year developing a piece of software that can wirelessly sabotage this 2014 Jeep Cherokee. It hasn't been altered in any way. There haven't been any devices attached to it. But like many thousands of Jeeps around the world, it can be remotely hacked over the internet through its cellular connection to its entertainment system. It would allow someone to take over its steering, transmission, and even its brakes. To demonstrate that, I am going to take it on the highway here in St. Louis while Charlie and Chris hijack its digital system from Charlie's house miles away. They wouldn't tell me what they had planned, but they assured me that it wouldn't be life-threatening. I have no idea what they might do.
Charlie.
First, we are going to turn the fan on him.
Chris.
Yeah, let's turn on the fan and see if he even notices it.
Andy kind of giggles.
Something just came on. Like the fan. I didn't do that. The trick started small, then a picture of Charlie and Chris showed up on the GPS screen on the dashboard. But as I drove down the interstate, things started getting unpleasant and very loud. The radio was blaring and I couldn't turn it down. Then the window cleaner started spraying and the windshield wipers came on while the radio was still blasting.
Charlie tells Chris,
"Do it, do it, kill the engine right now."
And the engine stops.
"And you have total control of that car. Now let's put all this together and go back to our text dealing with the 7-year tribulation. You just made the biggest mistake of your life and you rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, which means you've been left behind at the rapture, and now you're in the 7-year tribulation. The false prophet at some point says to worship the Antichrist or die, and you say no, and you try to flee, but because of all this automatic travel technology, you ain't going nowhere. First, you try to flee on land. But maybe they send an automated vehicle to come and take you out. Don't believe me? Listen to this crazy recent patent from Google. The same ones making the automated car."
Fox Business reports.
The headline, "Google has patented, look at that, a sticky coating on self-driving cars." Let's bring in Laura Simonetti to explain that horrible graphic.
That is an awful graphic. This is my favorite story, or one of my favorite stories this week. Let me explain it to you, because we have most of Silicon Valley and most of Detroit working on autonomous vehicles. How do we get them on the road? We are concerned about the safety of the driver and the passengers, and we are concerned about convenience. How do we make life easier? We don't worry about the other people on the road. So, if you can come up with Google's idea that they are working on, putting a sticker, an adhesive coating on the front of the car so that when you hit a pedestrian or a cyclist, they stick to the car.
And then you can haul them in or dispose of the body. Crazy stuff. Or maybe you try to get in your automated vehicle to flee from the Antichrist and false prophet to your so-called bug-out shelter you've been working on because you didn't need Jesus, but they control the whole system now. They shut the power off to the automated road and you ain't going nowhere. There's no power. It's all electric now. And remember, they'll know who the resistors are because these cars also know what you're doing, saying, videoing, your pictures, gotta have those selfies, and even what mood you're in. They know it all. Or they let you seemingly flee only to tap into your automated vehicle via the cloud and take control of your car to take you out. Hollywood, believe it or not, is already putting that horrible scenario into our minds. Here's a clip from a recent AI movie called Upgrade, which I don't recommend, but watch how they take these people out.
A clip from Upgrade.
As the couple is driving down the street, the man reaches for the steering wheel and the car tells him, "Do not touch the steering wheel while in motion." He immediately takes his hand off. The lady kind of laughs and then they kiss. But he stops and says, "Where are we?" As he is looking out the window, he says, "This is our old neighborhood. We are going in the exact opposite direction of the house. Where is the car taking us?" The lady then says, "Car, take us home." The car says, "I'm sorry, there has been an error." The lady then says, "Turn on the freeway and take us home." The car again says, "I'm sorry, there has been an error." The man then says, "Car, stop, stop car." The car doesn't seem to be slowing down, so they try to push the brake pedal. The car just goes faster and faster. He says, "The car is going way too fast." At that point, it runs into a barrier and it overturns, crashing.
And voila! There goes your resistor. I'm sure it was driver error or an accident. Folks, this is the ultimate convenient tool to take somebody out, if you wanted to, for not doing what they were told to do, and nobody would know, all because you got tricked into creating this so-called automated travel utopia. And that's exactly what the Antichrist and false prophet need to control the whole world in the last days, according to the book of Revelation. That system is being built right now before our very eyes with modern technology. And that's precisely why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning modern technology and the AI invasion, to show us that the tribulation is near and the second coming of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that's why Jesus himself said,
Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near."
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising. So, the point is this. If you're a Christian and you're not doing anything for the Lord, shame on you. Get busy doing something for Jesus now. Stop wasting your life. We need you. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get on the front lines and help us. Let's get busy working together doing something splendid for Jesus with what time is left and get busy saving souls. Amen? But if you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. Because when the Antichrist takes control, it won't be a modern-day utopia, don't fall for that lie. It'll be a horrible bloodbath. Take the way out now, the only way out, through Jesus Christ, before it's too late. Amen?